everybody. Welcome back to Drams for Dummies. I am Brett, and I could not be more excited. If you've watched all the way from the first episode, which, again, I think that's probably about three people that are just real bored late at night that happen to stumble upon this channel, and you're the OGs, and hopefully at this point you're a patron, and you've been along for this ride at this point. But on the very first episode, I had this awesome product, and we talked about this awesome service called Blind Barrels, and the whole episode was basically, a lot of the episode was me just rambling about nothing, and then the last half was me doing this great blind from Blind Barrels, and I said on that episode, hey, you know, at some point, these guys, we're gonna be working together, you know, real close, and so as an idiot recording in my kitchen to nobody, months ago, I said it, and lo and behold, I have manifested somehow by just texting and being an idiot to say, hey, here's what's going on. Do you want to be on here? We've got Bobby, the owner of Blind Barrels, joining us for our first official online interview. I had to buy software for this to be, I'm stepping up my game, with every episode, and, we're going to do a ridiculous blind together, but I just couldn't be more excited to have, talk about someone that's doing great things in the industry and someone that we can all learn from and is doing a great job of spreading the word of great smaller and newer and unique distilleries out there. I just couldn't be more honored to have him all the way from California. So, Bobby, welcome to this fledgling channel of ours.
Hey, Brett, thanks for having me on, man. As a member, one of the things about our members, we're not a massive company. We're not super small. We're kind of in that middle. We're still growing. So, I talked to all of our members can reach out to me at any time, just like you did. And you're not going to get somebody from India or some customer service. You're probably going to get me. And it'll probably be that way for as long as I can keep it that way. So regardless of how big your audience is or whatever it is, we love connecting with our members. And the biggest reason why I wanted to do this was just because you're a member is I never get to do blinds anymore. And that's the irony of literally, I'm looking at a sea of whiskey. We get sent so many different whiskeys from so many places, and we blind everything to figure out who's going to be in the lineup. But I have to set up the blinds for my guys, for my whiskey wizards, for Christopher and Christian. And so I'm constantly setting up blinds, but I myself never get to do blinds. And there's one other member, and now it looks like there's a second one, and now a third one with you that we're starting to trade kind of blinds on the side. Yeah. And so it's cool because I never get to do this again. And but hey, cheers to you starting your podcast, YouTube, just show, and keeping people in the loop on just the startup aspect of it. You're using new software now. Look at the video upgrade. Look at the quality of the audio. I do think just any kind of startup and any story, whether it's a show, whether it's a company, I think it's fascinating to people. And what the ins and the outs and the uphill battle and what works and what doesn't work. I think because everybody's trying to do something these days. Everybody's got a side hustle.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's got a dream they haven't fulfilled yet.
Or they're at least thinking about it. They're wanting it.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. And some of that, seeing somebody get through hurdles, I think, is motivating. I know it's what motivates me through some of our hurdles, for sure.
Well, it's definitely one of the reasons why I went ahead and took the leap. I've got a buddy who said, you maybe you're doing something that people want to see or that other people do, and that's just kind of doing these blinds by myself. And then, like you said, you're a blind, you love the blinds, and then you created a company around it. And so it's like, with all these great, in your world too, right? All these great companies doing stuff. At some point, you just have to go. You have to take a leap on an idea and just go, I don't know. We'll just see if anyone grabs a hold of this. And so, hopefully, if anyone's seeing you and I talking right now, then it all launched and someone's watching it. And obviously, you've started something on a huge leap with a huge investment, I'm sure, and a lot of risk and guts. And you and I talked, and you're, like you said, you're not like mega millions, can't talk to your people still, but you're growing by leaps and bounds. So, what inspired you to start Blind Barrels and kind of take that leap?
If I had to look to inspiration, it's really, I'd say family at the end of the day. My dad's an inventor. He's probably the most prolific individual inventor If you look at people that have filed a lot of patents, they're usually through companies. And as an individual, he has over 200 patents.
Wow.
From which, you know, so it's not like we grew up and it's not like the dad from Gizmo where he's tinkering in the basement or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, or get from, well, not Gizmo, but whatever, you know, that Gremlins, right? The bad guy.
Yeah.
And you know, he just threw his guts out there all the time. And mm-hmm. I was around a risk taker. You know, I didn't have a room in high school. I slept on a couch. You know, my dad had a couple big hits and home runs late in his career. Mm-hmm. You know, it took him 30 years to become an overnight success, really. And I don't think people understand, you know, just to make one patent, just to create a prototype, just to really put all you have into a risk and have a little bit of a hit and or a single with that, and then put all that into risking more and keep doing that. You got to have a stomach lining, and either you're that kind of a cat or you're not.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd say in my family, I'm the only one that really is a risk taker. Everybody got a kind of a standard job. You know, I have another company that pays my bills, which is kind of a secret sauce to our success. I don't take a salary at Blind Barrels. Everything we have is built into growing and expanding and reaching more people. And so that inspiration of just being a risk taker, and my mom not being a risk taker, but, you know, when my parents were together, she was supportive of a risk taker. So it's funny, my dad early in my career, for other aspects, I'm a filmmaker too, was always like, didn't want me to go that route because he knew how painful it was. Mm-hmm. Whereas my mom was always just unconditionally supportive. So they both support in their own way, one led by example and one just like unconditionally supported it. So that's kind of where the idea, and yeah, I can tell you startups and things that I've been a part of and that have failed and what I've learned from them, and there's been various aspects of that. And every time I make a film, it's basically it's the same thing. You're just putting a lot of time and energy and money into something that might just be an expensive home movie. You know, that's what building an invention is, and a prototype. And with the company, it's so when you're doing something that you know, not to toot my own horn, but it is innovative, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that has been done before. So there's bigger companies out there that have whiskey tastings, but we're the only double blind. We're the only one where nobody knows what you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately revealing what those things are, and also just this access. So we went this route. We wanted to make sure we were doing something special and making sure it was stuff that you couldn't normally get.
Mm-hmm.
So Christian, who's one of our whiskey wizards, if you're ever on our live blinds that we do right after a shipment goes out or any of the videos that accompany our reveal page, you know, he's a close friend. And he actually worked with my wife at an investment company. And during COVID, he was doing blinds. He was like, you know, everybody was quarantining for, you know, we're a few months in. And he was mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm going to do some blind whiskey things. You want to jump on? And he was like doing cool stuff where he was doing dusties and like old Fitz bottles that don't exist anymore. He would do like an MGP lineup and have themes and stuff that we're going to eventually build towards. But I just after the first one, I'd done blinds with wine before. I'd never done with whiskey. And I was like, I called him afterwards and I was like, this feels like a business. And he's like, yeah, okay. I was a little inebriated. I think we had like 8 samples. You know, it was basically as healthy as your samples were, and I was 8 of them. And he's like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, I'm going to figure this out. Like, it was the summer of 2020. And I spent the next 4 months figuring out how I could legally do all this stuff to make it. Because we're not in a basement somewhere. We're not at headquarters, like, pouring. We don't have a funnel and pouring whiskey into a bottle. There's a 3-tier mm-hmm. system. I mean, today, the day we're recording this is repeal day.
I was going to start with that. Go ahead.
So December 5th, hey, yeah. It's repeal day. Prohibition got repealed. Then when Prohibition got repealed, the 3-tier system got put into place, which means the tier one producers have to pass to distributors, which is the mm-hmm. second tier, and then to the 3rd tier, which is us technically, which is a retailer. So there's a lot of key partnerships in place. And then obviously just anything starting with the company, which is, you know, branding and, you know, how do you make a custom box? How do you make custom bottles? How do you get the bottles to fit in that box? How do you get the shipper box that the custom box is going to fit in? Like all these little components and stuff that I hadn't done a physical product like this in other startups and things that I've been a part of before. And so, you know, once I figured out how to legally do it, what I did is I called an ABC attorney. So if anyone's ever needs legal advice, just know you can probably get an hour-long consultation, whether, you know, your neighbor chopped down your tree, or it's a divorce attorney, or in our case, an ABC, an alcohol beverage control attorney. You can do a free hour-long consultation. And the first guy I called, it only lasted 7 minutes because he's like, there's seven federal laws you're breaking. You can't just pour whiskey into a bottle and send it out to people. I went, okay. And then I did 16 more of those calls with different ABC attorneys until three or four of them told me little bits and pieces of stuff that I could do. Wow. And one gave me a lot of advice in a direction that we really started off in, but we found a better way along the way. Mm-hmm. And I called the ABC attorney I liked the most. That wasn't going to be a $50,000 retainer. And then I pitched her on the process and she's like, you could do it that way. She's like, it's a lot of work, but I said, well, maybe there's a reason nobody's done this before.
Right.
I then went off and raised the money and we didn't raise a ton of cash. Really, I think a lot of people think we've had people thought we've raised like $1 or $2 million to do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere near that. I'm the biggest investor cash wise. I mean, I told about 15 friends about the idea just to gauge. I wasn't pitching. I was just trying to, am I crazy or is this a great idea? And 14 right. of them said, if there's a chance for me to invest, let me know.
Mm.
And so once I figured out how to do it, I then created the branding, so the monkey, well, it's technically a chimpanzee for Blind Barrels. And you can kind of see on the box the gold. Oh, look at that. Oh, soft touch gold.
That's a cool. The whole thing is so cool. The box, the way things package, the card, thanks, the branding. It's so good. Anyway.
Well, I mean, when Christian, he was like, look, if we're going to put stuff in a box, we need to make it special. And that doesn't mean we're going to have like Weller 12 and, Pappy Van Winkle in this lineup, because that's not possible. And we'd have mm-hmm. to charge, thousands of dollars per box. That we want to do craft, that there's 3,000 yeah. distilleries across the United States that you haven't heard of. And yeah, 2,000 of them are probably, best left to just maybe not being heard of. But there's a lot of distillers out there making some of the country's best whiskey that can challenge, we've had one that's beat a Pappy 15. Were you a member for the March lineup of earlier this year?
Nope. September was my first box.
Okay. So that's a good, look, every box is interesting. They're all our babies. So,
mm-hmm.
But we had one that in March that was called Some Like It Hot, and it was, everything was barrel proof. So we had a cask strength from, Devil's Creek, which is in Mammoth, California. They only have 80 barrels in existence. That was mm-hmm. a barrel pick. We did a barrel pick from Frey Ranch, which is in Fallon, Nevada. They're a big craft on the West Coast, big up-and-comer. Mm-hmm. We used a cooperage that they never used, so the flavor profile was totally unique. We did one from Southern Star, which is in North Carolina, mm-hmm. which is quietly becoming very, very massive and just a killer flavor profile. And then we did a 26-year, 151-proof from Cat's Eye.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so – the Some Like It Hot – and it built, and it was just one of these, like, it was interesting because even the hot ones were still approachable for somebody that was a new drinker.
Mm-hmm.
And then the experienced ones were like, oh my God, we got a hazmat, which means above 140 and it's mm-hmm. flammable. But that Southern Star, we got the barrel that was the barrel next to the barrel that won the New York Spirits competition.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it was dark and it was rich and it was like, ugh. And yeah, I mean, we sold out that barrel, pretty quickly. But I put it in a blind with my guys with the Pappy 15 year, which I think is one of the better of all the Pappy lineups.
Mm-hmm.
And it, out of eight people, it beat Pappy in that blind lineup. So to think that, oh, well, this isn't, 15 years or this isn't, we had a 26 year. To think that you have to have a high age statement or it's got to be, a Weller or one of the BTACs or some unicorn bottle and for Old Forester birthday bottle, that it has to be that. Well, remove all the bias, right? Remove mm-hmm. the brand, remove the label, remove the price, remove everything, and just see what the liquid's telling you.
But what you're doing is bringing, like you said, I mean, like if someone, I'm in Kansas City and the last box, I've got something from Washington I would have never heard from without your service. I got something from Illinois I would have never heard from. And I got something from my North State, Iowa, that absolutely was unique. And, and I don't want to like give it all away, but it wasn't my favorite in the blind. But I said, the review is hilarious because at times I'm cursing the glass because I just am not liking things about it. But at the same time, I'm saying, but it's so awesome that this is such a unique thing. It's not hitting my palate right now, but I love their story and I love what they're doing. And I love that your service brings these things to the table so that I can sit on my butt in Kansas City and taste all these things. And then if we, when you love them, go right back to your site and oftentimes pick up a bottle of it right there, or go connect with that distillery and start following them and picking up their stuff online or whatever, you know. So it's a great way to like you said, once you've had enough bourbon from the five or six big guys, you start to kind of feel like everything starts to taste the same.
Nothing's unique anymore. And what's interesting, the big guys are kind of taking a lot of, they're starting to do a lot of stuff that craft kind of set the trends mm-hmm. for. And, you know, the three that you mentioned from Washington and Illinois and Iowa, mm-hmm. those three only exist in their state. So distribution mm-hmm. is that middle tier we talked about, and they decide who gets the shelf space and where.
Right.
So we created a model and we created this avenue so that we're in 44 states. So people in all these 44 states can now have access to these brands where you literally couldn't buy or try these in any other way. And then, right. yes, if you want to buy a bottle, you can. And not to, you know, feel like I'm selling you. When we sell a bottle, you're not supporting Blind Barrels. You're supporting the distillery.
And it's,
do you want to get going on the samples? Because I know we're only going to have so much time. And
So
make sure we're.
Yeah, real quick for the viewers again that they you guys know. Typically, I'm having someone in. In this case, we've got someone two time zones away. But guest would bring me a sample. I don't know what it is. Then once I know what it is, I'm pouring them a blind from my stock, kind of based on what they give me. So in this case, talking to Bobby, I was like, how could we do this? And I realized, wait a minute, Bobby sent me four samples in this September box. And I had an ounce of each of some of the things left. And he and I kind of talked, and I think the one that was my favorite was also his favorite. And so I built an extended blinds. We have six today. Kind of based on that. And so Bobby, just so you know, there's no tricks in this. I'm kind of in the proof range of, and just so folks know, it's the one from September was the Mythology. It's like 118-ish proof, I think. Yeah. Right here, 118 proof. It was a 118 proof, 15-year blend. So I've kind of gone, so our ages are all over the place, but we're all bourbons. There's no finishes. There's nothing quirky. We're just kind of straight across the board, but.
Oh, you're already revealing too much. They're all bourbons. See, I didn't even have a.
Yeah, I'm not going to test you.
I know more about liquor laws than I do about, I don't have an expert palate. You know, like we just did a partnership with Fred Minnick. I don't know if you saw that, but
yep.
You know, the dude that has an expert palate and, I've gotten a lot better at pulling out notes and things like that. But, that Mythology, just so you know, Mythology is pretty accessible, but their cast mm-hmm. strength is not. So, right. You know, Scott, you know, they're out of Steamboat Springs in Colorado. And I was mm-hmm. like, look, we love your stuff. Is there anything we can put in here that's just a little bit? I don't want all of our members to just go to Total Wine and, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. then, you know, we don't know if we've helped you guys or not. But obviously we want something that people can't normally get. That's we want something in the box that's a little more special.
Right.
And that's what that one ended up being.
Yeah, look at that guy. So yeah, let's dive in. So I've done this before with guests, I mix up my glasses too, so that we're both blinding kind of. But I'm not doing that this time.
Yeah, that's called a single blind. So if you set up or if you have somebody that's like, here's six bottles, I don't want to know what order they are. So that's a single blind. A double yeah. blind is you don't know anything.
Which like you're double blinding right now.
We're double blind, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm not actually doing any blinds. I know exactly what I have and I know the order because what I realize when I've got someone on my episode is if I'm drinking A and you're drinking C and we're saying completely different. I mean, no one knows what we're saying and it's just like it's chaos. So we'll just kind of both do these together. And I'll see what you think of these things. So I'm very curious. And if you, like I said, this isn't a quiz, so you don't have to nail all the things. I really just want to know your thoughts. And if, by the end, if you've got an order of what you would put them in, that's awesome.
Ooh. See, that's lovely. It's a good starter.
Yeah.
So I'm on A. Is your A the same? It's definitely yep. high proof.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna guess. I'm not bad at guessing proof. I'm gonna say it's hard though because I didn't do a starter whiskey. It's the first whiskey that's touched my. Well, technically, we were bottling our lineup today.
Okay.
So we were drinking something that was 115.2 proof today.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yes, that was much earlier. That was in the morning. I'm like, oh, I'm drinking whiskey in the morning. Look, I'm responsible. I got to work. This is a job.
Your job, yeah.
But it's got a sweet nose. It's definitely got a sweet taste to it. In terms of what I'm getting, I feel like I don't want to like start naming brands because this does smell familiar. I mean, you're in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
So part of me is wondering, is like, oh, is Casey Reiger going to be in this lineup at some point? Mm. Like, is there, you know, like that? That's my first thought process. So then I'm already doing like a mental inception on like, oh, is he going to do something in the territory? Is he going to go to Ben Halladay?
Well, people that know my show know that I am Ben Halladay ride or die. So matter of fact,
they got some weeders though. I mean, do you?
I like them. I do, but I like their bourbons better because I don't love the beater. I've had them side by side. They're single barrels and stuff. I'm actually going to be doing an episode with the master distiller from Holiday in February.
Wow!
Super excited about that. So
I'd be stoked.
From the distiller.
Well, yeah, we've been in touch with them. We're hoping to get something cool from them in the lineup at some point.
Yeah, I didn't
have to ask. High on our list.
I shared emails with you, and then I talked to them and said I'm wanting to hook you guys all up so you can help each other, you know. So
yeah, I sent it to my guys to reach out and
cool.
to do the initial. I liked the first one, so it felt like I'm not going to guess tasting notes because that's all subjective.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it feels like it's about 110 proof, and is somewhere it tastes like it's going to be in that 6 to 10 year range.
Okay.
It's got okay. It's pretty. Ooh, the second one's super fruity and floral. And it smells a little younger.
Yeah.
The first one, it smells more grain forward. So, like, yeah, generally when you get that grain, you know, to the you know, drinking for dummies, stuff that I've learned, you know, in starting this company, is if it smells like the grain, it's probably younger.
Right.
If it smells like the wood, it's probably older, or they're using smaller barrels, or they're throwing wood chips into it, they're stay finishing like 291 does.
But I feel like there's also, you get that grain, but I feel like there's a richness, kind of a thickness to this that the first one didn't have, and a little bit more of that traditional kind of oak and barrel. I mean, a little bit more of that oak and caramel, maybe, you know, in there. I don't know. Versus
well, like,
that.
Like the taste doesn't taste younger at all, but the nose. When I was like smelling, I was like, oh, this might be, you know, younger. So it could be, you know, 2 to 6, you know, if I'm doing like a 4 year range. The proof feels a little bit high. It's hard to say because that first one that I did, whenever it's your first drink of the day or for a while, you don't have a base drink.
Oh, yeah.
Everything can taste hot.
Yep.
Which, you know, hot, for once again, for the new people drinking, it means it's higher in proof.
Yeah.
The finish was longer on the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like is, I mean, you're kind of setting up a blind where it's like, oh, these are all bourbons that are off your shelf. Another good example of just not all bourbons taste alike. This one doesn't taste anything like the first one.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah, a little brighter on the first one, little deeper, richer maybe on the second one, but completely different. Very viscous on the second one, too. Really fills the mouth.
Yeah, this nose, I'm like trying to, it's weird. I have more like olfactory that are linked to like memory. I'm like, this nose literally smells like something that's been in our lineup before, and I can't place it.
I'll be very surprised if that.
No, I don't think, I mean, the taste doesn't at all.
Yeah.
But the nose was like, that's pretty badass.
I like that. And then the third one completely, yeah, this is fun.
Ooh, the third one's nose is just phenomenal. it's very rich. Like, so when I say rich, it's like you don't have to get your nose too deep into it to get a little waffle cone, and to get some toffee, and to get that's bomb.
You're getting savory on that too, like a little bit, almost that kind of. Kind of a barbecue, kind of a rich. I don't know. There's a rich tang in there too.
Yeah, there's a tangy.
Yeah.
So that's a long finish. Let me grab a water right here so I'm getting, you know, what I should be doing is doing coffee grounds in between whenever you have more than like.
Right. I always do the smell of the sleeve. Nose. Smell the sleeve or smell your arm. I kind of do that sometimes. Reset myself.
Smell my, get my own pheromones.
Get my musk.
Theodore, reset. My natural juices. My natural juices to reset everything. But I'd say the nose on C is pretty badass. Like of the three. I'd say right now I like the finish of that one the most too. But right now I'll have to circle back to A, but I really was liking that on my palate. What's interesting when you talk about palate, like Fred Minnick, so we have a one-off box that, you know, members get at a discount or people can just buy it if they want to until we run out because we're through a lot of it or we'll be sold out by the end of the year. And he kind of, it's really an educational component where you have three different bourbons from different territories. So you're talking about terroir earlier and how much the region maybe affects that. But he really hits on like what part of the palate is it fitting, like, you know, they used to be like, oh, well, sweet is this and salty. There's different parts of the tongue, and they've dispelled that myth. But he kind of judges it by where is the taste impacting on his mouth? Like how many places in the front and the back and like where he's getting an impact on the taste. And so when he did that video, I was like, oh, I'm learning kind of something on that process. And really, especially the finish, some people are just – all about, like Christian, our one of our guys, he's all about the finish. Like he wants to have, you know, he calls it kind of that warm hug and that thing that stays with you and you get a great finish. What's like most Fridays I come home, it's kind of one of the days I don't work late. And I sit on my back porch and, you know, I watch my kids play for an hour, you know, and, you know, get them off the tablets, get them running around. I put some music on. And I'll sit there for like an hour and a half with the same class, and I'll pick something that has, hopefully it's hitting all the four things, right? Like that I can just enjoy it, because for me, drinking whiskey is about being present.
Yeah.
There's the mindful component of really tethering your senses to something is a great just communal thing, like what we're doing or what Josh and Aaron do as a couple. We have tons of couples, hundreds really of members that are couples that do this together. And what I love is when we hear from a member and, you know, a guy will be like, I didn't think my wife liked whiskey. You know, it's like, why would you think that? Cause she's a woman. Like women, palates are better than, your gender profile and your wife, this is bullshit. No, but like that element of that, this is something they get to commit to every 3 months or, you know, you have a friend. When we did it, we didn't want to be like a normal subscription where, like if you sign up for a keto box or food thing, delivery, whatever, they're just going to put you on a program, start delivering stuff, right? Or a thing for my kids. It's a toy thing that they put together or educational. We wanted it to be seasonal curated. So like our December kit goes out. Like right now, if somebody orders or subscribes right now, because we're so close to December 15th release, we give them the option. Do you want, we have like, you know, about 50 September kits left. Which will be utilized in different capacities and one-off boxes and corporate tastings or whatever. We can send you that one now. And your second one, I'll dial the renewal back or your annual. Your second box is the December one. Or do you want to wait for December 15th? So that lineup, and then once after your first box, whatever you do. Like if you order December 16th, we'll get you the December box and your next one will come March 15th. But everyone gets that same lineup at the same time. So if you have a friend, a family, coworkers, somebody, you know, we have fathers and sons and mothers and sons and daughters and dads and everybody and cousins and best friends that are in different states. And it's a great way to make sure that you're checking in every 3 months.
That's right? Cool.
That
you're
coming in.
That's super cool. That's super cool.
Are we going on to D?
Yeah.
So this one's light on the nose. It's hard to say sometimes when something's been in the glass longer. It's funny when it's been in the glass longer, it sometimes evolves a little bit too, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if you've ever left that, you know, you didn't finish that glass of whiskey and you fall asleep, you know, to whatever. And
all different thing.
You wake up, and you're like, what's in my glass? It's like this, when you have a little bit of whiskey and a lot of air, it just goes bad. And that's why like, oh, well, you know, if you have a bottle that's half full, are you supposed to drink it because it's going to go bad? And it's like, there's some thought to that. But like, there's a bunch of guys in whiskey groups on like, you know, social media that they'll share all their half bottles because they're afraid that they're going bad, and you'll get like some Stag Juniors for like $40. And I'm like, yes, please, I'll take all your Stag Juniors.
I don't know about that. I feel like that air just makes it better. But I do know, like, if you get down to like this much in a bottle, you know, if you let it sit for months, like it's probably turning somewhere, you know, but.
This is pretty tasty. This one's, I'd say very similar to the first one. Terms of just, let me go back to the first one.
That's got a lot more spice than I think we've had yet. Maybe a little cinnamon and very oaky.
I was getting some of that on the first one, that they both kind of had some spice that were punching through.
A little bit
of peppercorn.
Yeah, I was getting a lot of grape on that first one. I was getting a lot of fruits and sweets on that first one. This one I'm getting, kind of, a lot more, almost kind of feels rye-y almost.
Watch, we're gonna get to the mythology, and we're like, this is the best one. I'm biased. I want them to get that credit.
I mean, that'd be great. If it won this lineup, then good on mythology.
we get a lot of people though. It's like if you hit up the bot on our site, the chat bot. It's not really a bot. It's just me. It just comes right to me. Like and I get these like messages from people, and they're like, is it bourbons or is it whiskey? And I'm like, well, all bourbons are whiskey, not all whiskey's bourbon. And, you know, you have to say that to somebody without trying to make them feel stupid, because they're usually, like, buying it for someone else that, like, oh, my friend is a bourbon fan. And if you want just bourbons, do we have more bourbons than anything else? Absolutely. Have we had all bourbons in a lineup? Yeah. You know, are we going to have single malts? And are you going to be somebody that doesn't like single malts? Yeah, 100%. And, are there some single malts that can change your mind? Absolutely. I'd say of all those four major categories, the bourbon, the rye, the wheat, and obviously you have high rise and you have weeded bourbons and then the single malt. So American single malt means it's basically scotch. It can't be called scotch because it's American. It's not, and it's a new category as of, you know, about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be made by a single distiller in a single season. And it's got to be 51% barley in the lineup. But not all scotches and not all American single malts are smoky. Some of them are really nuanced. And we had one from Westward, Pinot Noir Cask Finish, that is just phenomenal and so rich. And we had so many people that like bought a bottle and they're like, I've never bought a scotch or an American single malt before, but I'm buying this bottle. And I'm like, I bought it too.
I haven't done a single malt yet. Like, and I'm excited for a service like yours, like Blind Barrel, to like drop some, like that, because then it's like, again, it's blind. I don't know, and I don't know if I'll pull a trigger on a bottle because I don't know which bottle I want to buy. But your service, I'm like, oh, absolutely. If I got one I love, that could be the door opener into a whole new genre. You know? So,
is there an age range of what some of these bottles are?
You're everywhere from 4. Plus 4 to a lot more.
And what was what's the price range?
Well, that's part of the fun. I don't want to ruin that.
Well, no, I'm just kind of curious. I'm asking what each one is. I'm
a very
curious.
Little to a very lot. That's kind of part of the fun of this. So, like, let's see how something that doesn't cost anything goes in with something that costs a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Or a 4-year goes against a 15 plus.
That's interesting. I like that 15 plus.
Oh yeah, there's plus in here. What do you think about this?
I'm looking at a bunch. So like in my office, I've got these different levels where we have basically bourbons, rye. We have, I think, not wheat, but single malt, and then we have things that aren't any of those. And then the top shelf is stuff that I can't fit at my house. And then I have another shelf in the other room that's that too. So I'm already like inceptioning. I'm like, oh, is one of these Old Forester? That one tastes like them. You know, that I'm already kind of like pushing in one of these directions. I'm like, oh, Knob Creek is you're going to get peanuts. And I'm like, am I getting peanuts on any of these ones? Where, you know, I'm thinking, is this a Knob 15 that, you know.
did you nose this E yet?
I did. I already tasted it too.
This might be my favorite so far. I'm not sure.
I think it's the most balanced.
like you said, everyone's been different, but.
Like this doesn't taste like, this tastes like it's 100 proof.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just because we've done some hotter things up to this point. The finish is kind of short.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's funny that you were, and going back and just to kind of maybe relate this to, and in the comments, if you're watching, throw in what you like, your order of priority in when you're drinking. Is it nose? Is it palate? Is it finish? You talked about your guy kind of being a finish guy. And I feel like finish is the thing that maybe is because I'm not as refined and as experienced yet, where finish, I have a hard time scoring it real well. I like an experience. I like for it to kind of run a little bit and not get harsh. So if it sizzles a little bit and kind of runs for a while, like our third glass, it didn't hit me fast as a strong finish, but it just kept going. Like we were talking for like 5 minutes and I was still feeling our third glass, but like, I would almost say that I would, the nose for me, like I can almost just smell and it trips all those endorphins. And if it smells rich, and if every time I come back to the glass, it smells a little different, and I swirl it and it smells a little different. And I've told my viewers, like, I just almost want to crawl in the glass and just live in that glass. My wife has even said before, like, I don't even know if you need to drink it sometimes. Like you're just getting, you know, for being crude, just kind of getting off on the nose, you know.
Yeah.
But then if that nose is really good and potent and rich, then I really need that palate to follow up. Like falls off and kind of washes out, that's like a big letdown to be up here and then have it just come out like that. So I probably go in order. It's like I need that nose to be rocking, then I need that palate, and then at the finish, I can kind of forgive a lot of different things in the finish if the other two are working, you know?
Yeah, no, I like it. I can sit in there and just nose on a glass for a good long while without even tasting it and drinking
it.
And it's interesting, you know, when you get something that's high proof, sometimes it's hard to kind of get the smell out of it, or to you're getting just alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll have a lot of novices that they'd be like, this tastes like alcohol. And it's like they're just getting the harshness, or they're getting just the ethanol. They're just getting mm-hmm. like just this high proof, and that's all they can get out of it is pain, right? And,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned yourself, you're a proof whore, or I guess the PC term, you're a proof hound, right? We had a female influencer. She's like, well, I'm a proof hound. And I was like, oh, that's a good way to still have the H there without it being like a derogatory, whatever. And that the whole point of cask strength isn't, oh, you need to drink this at 132 proof and puts hair on your chest and be a man about it or any of those other, you know, kind of ideas. It's, so I always do cask strength the way it is. And then if it is hot, sometimes it's high proof, but it's not that hot. And I'll just keep drinking it like that. But sometimes it is hot and I don't want to feel like I'm just scalding my esophagus, mm-hmm. that you proof it down. And we don't put a bunch of crushed ice in there. But I like to do is put a small cube in there that will then slowly evaporate. And then each drop will alter the spirit itself. So the water, the proofing down isn't like, now you're a wuss. And mm-hmm. the cask strength was never designed to say, drink it this way. It was designed to say, proof it down to your liking.
Mm-hmm.
But water will also unlock a lot of flavor and profile notes that you wouldn't normally get.
Right.
And, you know, we had a 15-year rye that was matured in a Weller barrel from Mammoth Distilling in Traverse City. And I got to tell you, this bottle was something special. In the secondary, it goes for like $450. Right now, because it was such a special barrel pick. I think we sold it for $100 at the time. And I mean, we sold it out, you know, in probably about 3 weeks. And at that time, we didn't have a lot of members either. It was like, you know, we had like, I think on our, you know, from bottle to member average, I think like one out of four people bought a bottle of that, which is the highest of what it was. And we didn't have a limit per bottle. Some people bought six bottles and I know they sold them because they were just, and I have two bottles, one for each of my kids when they're of age that I'm not going to open until then. But for now, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because it was a rye. Didn't taste anything like a rye. It wasn't traditionally peppery or spicy. And we had a lot of bourbon drinkers that were like, wow, this is unbelievably special. And it was 128 proof. But man, you put just a touch of water in it, it just exploded. And it was the most rich, just nuanced. It was fruity and floral and spicy and sweet, and it was just, it was like the everlasting gobstopper in Willy Wonka, mm-hmm. where it was like every flavor all at once.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't do water very often, and the few times I do, I feel like, it kind of harshens it. It kind of brings out the ethanol for me, and or I just want to know what that thing tastes like, however they presented it to me. I don't know, like, but I know that there's science to that too. Like, you can absolutely, you know, bring in a little water and then completely make a whole new drink profile, but I just kind of go straight all the time. I'm just a straight guy. That's just what I do, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, the only thing is you can't unproof it, right? I mean, you can pour more whiskey into it is what you can do. But it's also the whiskey changes character just sitting in the glass. So if you're sitting there with the glass for an hour, it's going to be different after 60 minutes or even 20 minutes, you know? And just kind of trying to see where's that sweet spot. Sometimes you can get a sweet spot for proof. And, you know, there's certain whiskeys at my house that I will pour. I'll go take a shower. I'll go do something. I'll come back because I know in 30 minutes it's gonna crush. You know.
High proofers. The longer they sit out, I think the better they just get. They just get richer. So.
Well, I've gone through the whole lineup. So
I
did the last one too. So I didn't mean to jump on you, but I did the mythology, which we know is the last one. And I got to tell you, I think from a palate standpoint, it's. I'm biased though, because I know what it is that I might have to go through them all again, but on the palate, the nose is solid. The finish is not short, but it's shorter than some of them. And some of these are much longer than that one that, you know, but on the palate, it's pretty damn amazing.
Yeah. It's a little, you got to kind of ride it right on the nose. It's like, it can hit you a little ethanol-y, but then when you hit it right, it's really rich and nice.
Yeah, no, it's and it's not as nuanced of a nose as some of these. I wouldn't say it's the best nose or the best finish, but it's definitely one of the best tastes in the lineup. But these were all good, so it's not like you didn't really pour anything bad here, you know?
Yeah, well, I know you do have a schedule, and I don't want to keep you late, but I do need you to rush. I need you to get me to an order here.
Okay.
Somehow, whatever your scientific way is that.
Let me.
This will be the fast forward part of the video.
All right, I think I figured it out. So do you want me to go just say the order of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5?
Let's go.
6.
I have no idea if I'm even. I don't even know if I know my order, but that's okay. You're the important part. All right, so I guess let's start with your. If you got a last place,
and then are you going to reveal afterwards?
Yeah, I'm gonna show you the
best one.
Yeah.
Okay, so my last place. It wasn't bad. It was just I think it stood out as being different in the lineup in a lot of ways. And the finish I think was just so short, but it was B. Sample B was my last one.
See,
that's the Pappy 20.
This is why you're a pro.
Okay. 114, Old Granddad. That's not a bad pour, though. I drink that at the movie theater all the time.
It wasn't enough.
But it's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's $30. It's. I tell people all the time, like, you put this in a blind with $60 and $80 bottles, and this will probably win a lot of blinds.
It's not bad. It's not a bad bottle at all. No, I'm a fan of Old Granddad.
It must
be back in the day. That was $8 fifth. You know what I mean? Like, you know, now you can get it for $30 and it's still good. Like I said, I go to the movie theater. They have that. You know, they'll have an Uncle Nearest or whatever, and I'm like, I'll drink an Old Granddad.
Yeah, I just think it's funny to put that in there, especially
you know what that mixes really well with is Tab.
Tab, oh my god!
Get some Tab.
In years,
Old Granddad and Tab is the fucking bomb.
That's I love that.
If there's a takeaway from anything besides sign up for Blind Barrels, pour some Old Granddad and Tab.
And that's a good moment. There'll be the link flashed up down in the comments. You'll see the link to Blind Barrels. Please, please, absolutely go give him a follow. And he's referenced it a couple of times being connected to his members. And I've talked about it in the first episode. The reason I could harass Bobby right to his phone is because he harassed me on my phone when I signed up and texted me directly and said, hey, man, it's Bobby from Blind Barrels. Same thing. He's like, do you want this box or do you want to wait for that box? And so I was like, this guy, holy crap, like personal service and making sure I'm getting what, you know, what I want. And so then I was like, well, this guy seems like a guy that might actually respond. And that's why we're here today. So, yeah, appreciate it. So
cheers, man. Happy to be here. You know, all right, so this next one, it was really a tie between two. I was kind of battling, actually. So I put A as fifth place.
Okay.
But it was really close to fourth place. Fourth and fifth I thought were both good, but I was like, I don't know. Like, I like this note a little better. The Blue Note. All right, yeah. Juke joint.
It's the Blue Note unfiltered, and it's a store pick from my local store, Bubbles.
Nice. What did they charge you for that?
Oh, I think this one is like...
$60?
50 or, yeah, 55, 60, yeah. Yeah, I just... This stuff, I mean, if you can, and you find this on your shelves, this is 119.2 proof. This is good stuff for what you're.
Yeah, so you started us off hot.
We're all in a 10 point proof range ish, 10 to 15 proof range.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean in either direction?
Yeah. Kind of off of mythology, yeah. So. All right, so far I think you're showing yourself to be the pro right here. Like you've kind of gone, I feel like you've worked the price and the rarity scale pretty well. So,
So I'm battling right now. I just kind of did these back to back, and I think I might change my mind.
Uh oh, I mean it's such a mind.
Not those first two, but the
right
these next two. I have a very clear winner.
It's such a mind screw, though, isn't it, when you blind? Like, you keep going back and forth, and every time you go back, it's different. Like, it takes me forever to figure it out.
Yeah, I think I was right the first time. Third place was sample D.
Man, you're staying consistent on winning.
Mm.
There's your Ben Holiday.
Oh, Ben Holiday's bomb. Yeah.
That's a single barrel.
Now I want to like it more.
It's a seven year 120.7 proof, and this was a distillery only release of theirs. So,
Well, and so what did they sell that for there? About $60?
Yeah, I think so.
Same thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I would, you know, I'd buy that all day for, you know, 80 to 100 out here.
That no, awesome. Yeah, it's
that is super tasty.
All right.
So so mythology, I was putting kind of right on par with my second and third. So we'll just say mythology is somewhere there, and that way we'll just, you know.
I don't have the box. I just have the Blind Barrels sample D.
Yeah, I have one behind me. I have something over there, but.
And they have cool bottles and artwork.
They have cool labels.
I'll flash up a thing.
Yeah, the cast strength is bad.
So this is very interesting that we're down to these two. I'm very curious where you go with this. Make sure you make the right choice here. So,
I mean, my second place was E, and it was, you know, it was great. It was phenomenal. I just thought C did everything for me. And
so here's your second place.
Okay. Nice. Ooh, the 14 year. Look at me.
Yeah.
All right. Look at my, I got expensive 14. Taste. What did they charge you for that?
Oh man, I got this at retail and I don't remember what they charged for this. 100 or what was this?
120. I've never had there. I didn't even know they had an high age statement like that. The Haystack needle. That's fucking awesome.
And Redwood Empire is awesome. This is 113.6 proof, 14 year.
That was dope.
So now, do you feel extra special now, Bobby? You're getting my fourth.
I do. I absolutely do. Well, it was very rich, and it was, you know, we've talked about having. I mean, the nose on this is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, smell it after the glass is gone. You know, you can almost get, you know, almost some of the pros. What they do is they do this.
Oh, and smell the hand. Oh yeah.
And you can just. It's super nuanced. I mean, we've talked about getting Redwood Empire and something in the lineup. I think if we were going to do something in the lineup, ideally we'd be able to get something like that in the lineup. But that's,
oh my god, yeah,
that's great.
No, yeah,
look at you coming up with a banger lineup. right off the bat.
Telling just for you. Well, and yeah, what the heck did you pick first? That's what you're wondering now.
Well, C, yeah, I gotta know what C is because I gotta get a bottle of this because this is fucking awesome.
Well, maybe.
That makes sense. Well, Four Roses. What is that? 135 proof?
This is this year's limited edition small batch.
Oh, this is the limited edition. Okay, well, come on.
This is 135th anniversary.
Tastes like 135 proof.
Yeah, no, 108 proof. Yeah, but it's got 12 to 25 year barrels in that.
It's fucking awesome.
So
I think I got it in order of price, huh?
I think
I got it exactly order in price.
I think
we go from 35 to 55 to 60. I think the mythology is $74.99, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Normally it's $80. I think we sell for $74.99. And then, yeah, so the Four Roses limited edition, how much was that? Like $150?
There's my wife barging in. Sorry.
There you go. All right. Look at me. I feel special. Look at me. I'm a pro. I figured it out.
I wish this was $150. No, I'm trying to think now what it is now. I feel like that the –
I see people are always trying to trade it on social for like, I think, 3 Blantons. So that would put it at 2 something. I don't know.
Blantons is going for 120 around here on socials. So you're.
Yeah, but people put it for 60.
This is a $400 to $500 bottle.
Oh, Jesus. See, I don't even know my. Well, yeah. I have expensive taste, apparently.
But I think, a 175 MSRP now. And then my store.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, and I'm really going off of MSRP.
Yeah, they did the markup. So I think I spent, actually, it might be a $225 MSRP.
I spent $225
almost for $300 for this.
I think it's worth it, as crazy as that sounds.
I will tell you, my experience with this so far has been, because of the price point, fairly disappointing.
Yeah, well that's so what happens is that's this, we call it label failure. Where you spend all this money on something, and either you will yourself to be like to like it when you don't,
yep.
or it just comes up short because you want it to be so special. And look, I mean, you know that Redwood Empire, all of those. I mean, the Ben Holiday. If I had $60 in my pocket, you know, and which means I can't get the mythology, I'd be buying that Ben Holiday like all day.
Well, that's the question for you is like if you're going to spend $300 or $60, is this $240 better than this? That's the question.
I'd buy 5 Ben Holidays, not even.
Buy three or four of these. And
uh-huh. Oh, yeah. But I don't know. It's like, you know, for instance, Christian, one of our guys, he's a Four Roses snob. So, like, I'm going to keep a little of this around for him.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm going to taste it. He's going to, I'll be like, see if you can guess. I'm going to. You know, because he's going to do kind of a palate base before we do. We're filming our live tasting in a few days for the reveal page. So we always kind of do a little bit of a live. We kind of go through the lineup, and we got to get a base going. But that's a bottle. I have not had that, so that's awesome. I haven't had, you know, it's funny. I haven't had a couple of these. I don't know if I've had that particular Ben Holiday.
Distillery only.
I definitely haven't had that Redwood. I've had that Blue Note. I've had, obviously that was a store pick, so I technically haven't had that one. And I've had Old Granddad 114. But it's interesting how you could have somebody that is an expert that will put them in the reverse order for whatever reason.
Right.
And
just
you don't
palette.
Know why.
Just palette. Yeah.
I mean, I think what's interesting about that Four Roses when you're like, oh, this is 108 proof, but if you look at the flavor that's punching through on that, and what you're getting out of 108 proof, it's something that I wouldn't want to proof down. It's something that I could just sit with that glass for the next hour. So if I look at it like there's 25 of those in a glass, right? There's 25.4 ounces. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to have 24 hours, right? And let's just say, or 25 hours, right? And you're spending $300. So you're spending $12 an hour, right? So that's below minimum wage, you know? So that's, if you look at it from an experience standpoint like that, it's not, because that to me is an hour long drink. I would just, I'm not getting drunk on this. You know, it's funny. I drink less now than I used to. I was more of a drinker than a taster. And now I really focus on, the mindful components, enjoying the glass, enjoying the moment. You know, yeah, we all like to be a little bit drunk and inebriated. I'm never, you know, I drink a lot of water when I'm drinking in general. I haven't had a hangover in years.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah.
Just in the way that, I drink and the approach to drinking. And, you know, we want to be a healthy company. If somebody has an unhealthy relationship with alcohol, we don't want them to be a member. You know, if somebody has an actual literal health problem that prevents them from drinking, like, we don't want, this isn't what we're about. You know, we've had somebody that joined a live that, you know, was obviously drinking before the live started, and they're, you know what I mean? And we were just like, can't show up like that. Like, this isn't, you know, we're not in a frat here. This is a community. This is a whiskey community. And the history of the whiskey community is about friendship. It's about support. It's about having communal moments like we're having right now. But thank you for this lineup. Thank you for the, for some of these really special pours. Super stoked on especially those last three. Besides Mythology, I knew Mythology was bomb. yeah, come check us out at Blind Barrels. And, you know, if you guys want to, you know, use Whiskey 10, you can get 10% off, you know, any membership or even a one-off box or merchandise or anything that we have. And join our whiskey community and get a little FOMO on trying to figure out what that next lineup is going to be.
Love that. Bobby, thank you so much. Honored to have you here. You've been awesome. And I mean, you couldn't be more of an expert. You picked it all in price order, so you knew exactly what was going on. And I'm going to be a subscriber for life. And if I ever get any followers here, we'll make sure we get you some more followers from here too. So
yeah, we'll make it a regular thing for sure.
Love that. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Brad. A pleasure, man.
So all right.
Sounds good, man. Yeah. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Well, there you go.
That was fun, man.
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm normally, yeah.